It really is an honor, a privilege to be with y'all. I told the first service, I've been meaning to get over here and see what the Lord was doing, and it has not disappointed for sure. And Jamie kind of did it, but I do want to honor Jordan and Josh. Like, it is, it's easy to get in. I know y'all have been going for a good year or so. I really don't know how long y'all have been doing this, at least a year. And it's easy, three multiplication. All right, got you. All right, so that's awesome. But to really see someone give up everything, you know, they had a home, their family, friends, jobs, and just come without even knowing how is God going to do this, but I know he's telling me to do it. And to see the fruit is just incredible. And y'all have some awesome, some stud leaders, which y'all probably know that. But so I'm Blake Williamson from old Dublin, right down the road. And my story's not like Jordan's, just a disclaimer out there. Two different stories here. Mine's a little crazy. But in saying that, like, I got to pair it with God's story. Like, I believe my story is his. Like, he is the message. Christ is the message. And my hope through this today is that we see that. We see him. Jamie hit it. Like, this isn't just a story. This isn't a hobby for me. I don't like getting in front of people. Like, I pray that we see him glorified, exalted high. Like, that y'all see the man of Christ in this story. And then I pray that y'all see that, man, if Blake can be changed and transformed by the love of God, I got a chance, right? And then also, there's probably some that's walked in here and you've carrying some stuff this morning. Probably lived it up a little last night or something. Nah, I'm just playing. But you could have. You carrying some stuff in here this morning, right? Whether you want to call it some chains or baggage or whatever. I'm telling you, I had a lot of it. And he nailed it to the cross with him. So, but before we get started, I'm going to pray. God, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord. Just thinking about the song we sang, the blood, Lord. It's everything. It's the most powerful substance on this earth, Lord. And God, I just thank you it still speaks, Lord. I thank you that it covers me, Lord, and that it's changed me, Lord. God, you're so good, so kind, Lord, and I just pray that that's just your goodness, your gentleness, your kindness is put on display this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you just move in the only way that you can, Lord. I'm praying for salvation, Lord. I'm praying for people to actually step into the freedom that you've purchased, Lord, and you desire for us to walk in, God. And I'm just praying for a deepening of love in every heart, including mine. I want it, God. I need you, Lord. Hear everything, Lord. Help us to see you as a treasure this morning, Lord. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start out, try to get through this. We're going to start out in Ephesians 2. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verse 1. And as you turn, like, I just want to say, I can't get off of this when I think of my story. Probably because I started out with this when I first told it. And I just can't unsee, man, like this is the, I mean, it's a beautiful picture of the gospel, one. But like the first four verses, man, this was me. It's describing me to a T. And I believe many in here can relate. So starting in verse one, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." I'm going to pause right there. Like, listen, stay awake right now because this is talking to you. This is for everybody. He didn't say, hey, some of y'all were dead. No, it says, as for you, you. He means you and all, everybody, right? And some of us are in the camp of we were dead, right? We were dead, spiritually dead. And some in here are probably dead this morning. You have no life, right? Because you haven't surrendered to Christ. So there's two camps you're falling in this morning. There's no exceptions. Either you're dead or you're alive in Christ, right? That's it. And it says those, listen, if you're dead in Christ this morning, if you haven't surrendered your life, it says this is how you live. You follow the ways of this world. Like you care about what the world thinks. You're getting your beliefs, your truths from the world, and you're following the spirit of Satan, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient, right? If you're alive in Christ, man, you're aspiring, you're desiring to do the Father's will. Like you want to please God. You want to follow Christ. You want to be, and you're being led by His Spirit, right? So there's two camps. You're either living for yourself and you're dead, or you're living for Christ and you're alive, right? And I know that's tough to swallow for some, right? But it's truth, and this was me. I was probably one of his best people to use, Satan's. Like, I was falling all into whatever he wanted me to do. I'm just falling. I'm eating it up. And it shows because I was wanting nothing more than to gratify what Blake wanted, gratify my flesh, my desires, right? And it says like this, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, right? And listen, this nature thing, like I want us to go ahead and put this into perspective. Sin is more than just bad things that you do, right? I know we probably heard this, but make it a reality. Maybe it falls fresh this morning, right? Because I sat in many services and just listened, and it never got in me. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that this falls fresh this morning. Listen, sin is what you were born into. It's your nature apart from Christ. Like, we're born into a sinful nature, right? And transgressions is anything that goes against the law of God, right? So this is what kept us, right? This is what keeps you in death. This is why we need Christ, right? So, like for me, perfect example. Like I grew up, right, going to church from as old as I can remember, hated it. I hated going to church. I know Jordan, it sounds like she liked going to church. I hated it, right? I did not like it. It was a list of rules of I've got to follow this, I can't do this. It's how I saw it. I was so wrong. And so I did not like being there, right? Well, my parents, I had great parents. My mom's a retired school teacher. Dad's had the same job for 40-plus years. He works at the paper mill. And we were definitely not poor, probably not rich, but didn't go without. Actually, I was probably spoiled, to be honest with you. My parents, or my mom more so, gave me everything that I wanted. And so I had a good childhood. But like even like I think they were just doing the best that they knew. They'd have me. I'm just thinking of me having kids. Like, and I think back on all the mistakes that I made and all this. Like this, I think this is. I shared this, went this way in the first, and I'm back here because this wasn't planned. But like I think there's some people can relate to this. Like you have kids, and you're like, man, I don't want them falling in my shoes. What do? Let's put them in church, right? And that's good and all, but it's our job as parents to disciple our kids, right? Like, we don't just pawn them off on the church, because they're at church 52 hours if you come every Sunday for an hour. I guess here's an hour and 15, so they get an hour and 15 every week. How long do they have at your house, right? It's up to us to be pouring into our kids, because for me, like my parents, we went to church, but we didn't talk about God outside of church. It was like, we get in the car and we're back to the mundane, right? Doing the normal. Like the only time I heard about God was at church. And so that's neither here nor there. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. But so I go on this journey, like fifth, sixth grade, I start spending the night away from home with friends, get introduced to pornography, early age. It sticks with me. I'm spending the night over there, not going to church because I love them to death, but they didn't prioritize God or church. And so we didn't go when I spent the night there. And I loved that. I wasn't mad at it at all. And so I go through middle school. I'm making great grades, honor roll every week. You know, I think I'm a good kid. I got this secret little thing festering up in me from the image I saw. It didn't matter. Like, I didn't think anything of that. Come freshman year of high school, I start hanging out with people that were freshmen all the way to seniors. And I thought I was hot stuff, let me tell you. Like, I'm with the most popular kids in school. I'm good. I start hanging out with them on the weekends and stuff. They drink here and there, smoke cigarettes. And I was like, I'm going to kick it with y'all, but I'm going to stay clear of that cigarette smoke because I got a mom that will kill me if she smells that on me when I get home. And I say that, but as time went on, like that gap that I put in between me and that smoke, it slowly got closer. I'm going, and next thing you know, I'm trying the alcohol. I'm trying the cigarettes, right? And I think some people in here probably can relate to this. But, man, I point it to, like, you show me your five best friends. Show me the five people that you do life with. I'm going to show you who you're going to become. Like, that's a true statement. And it was true for me. And it still would be true today of who I intend to hang around or give my life to and let into my life. But, so I go through high school. I might go to a couple parties here and there. Drink a little bit and all that. I graduate. I've already been introduced to marijuana and stuff. So I graduate high school. I'm addicted to porn, sex, alcohol, some drugs. And I think I'm living my best life. I'm like, man, I'm living it up. YOLO, you only got one life to live. You know what I'm saying? And I'm doing it. I'm like, I'm about to see how far I can push this. What I can get away with, I have no worry or concern about anybody or anything, right? And I thought I was living this way. And, man, I was so wrong. I was so deceived. And it just continues to grow from here. Like, it started with one little thing, and it just is crazy how sin works, like how the enemy works. Like, he's just looking for a little crack in the door. And he's going to bust it wide open eventually. I liken it to like a snowball. It starts out small at the top of the hill, and is by the time it gets to the bottom, it's huge, right? But that's what sin looks like a lot of times. Like, and we don't see it. We're blind to it. But I go on. I graduate. My parents wouldn't let me go to Southern because they knew what was up. But that didn't stop me. I continued to do the same things in Dublin. I did the same things, just with different people. So I get through school. I won't bore y'all with those details. I make it through school. I end up going to Eastman, to the aviation college, get a degree. I get a job at Warner Robins Air Force Base. And I'm making good money living at home with my folks. And I'm blowing it, partying. Like that, if there was some, I was addicted to the party lifestyle is what it was. Like, it had me. I liked to party, hunt, and fish. That was it, you know. And so it all came to a head when February 2013, I was 21. I got together with some friends in Dublin, and I was like, man, we need to go do something. Let's go to the bars in Statesboro. So all my friends were in Statesboro. So we go to the bars, have a drink at the bar. It's kind of boring there. It's not lively enough for me. Like, I'm trying to get into something. So I'm like, I'm going to go find a party or something to go to. And one of my friends got in the car with me. We left, didn't make it half a mile at most. I had a wreck. And that wreck involved someone else in it. And so that night, like, I remember, I'm more worried about what my parents are going to say. I guess I've never been in trouble before, and I'm freaking out that they're going to kill me. And I get booked. State Patrol books me, and I won't ever forget, like, when he looked at me and said, "You better hope that young man survives." And I was thinking, what are you talking about? I didn't hit anybody. That was my thought in it. And he just said, look, I'm telling you, you better hope he survives. So at this point in my life, man, I'm mocking God. I'm making fun of people that go to church. I'm hungover on Sunday mornings going to get some dip or cigarettes or something from the store waking up about the time people are coming home or getting out of church going to eat. And I'm like, man, look at those churchgoers there. Like, this was me, my mindset. And that night in the holding cell, like, all I could think about is God. Every time that my parents or someone invited me to church is all that would play through my mind that night. Could not sleep. Next day, Saturday, my parents came and got me out of jail. And I told my mom I wanted to go to church. So I go to church that Sunday morning. Nothing crazy happens, but I do want to go back that night. So I go back that night, and it's a worship service. Just worship, no preaching or anything like that. And God met me in the middle of that worship service when I wasn't even looking for him. I was just there, and I had a true encounter with God that he revealed, man, like how sinful I really was, the depths of my sin. And it wasn't just the circumstances that I just went through. No, I saw that when I was in elementary, middle school, and I thought I was a good kid, I was still a sinner. And I saw like that for the first time in my life, like I've been in church, heard the story. I saw for the first time in my life that I needed him. Like that I was dead apart from him, right? And I mean, we all have a choice, but I didn't see another way. Like he was the only way. He's the only one I wanted. And I surrendered my life. I said, I'm tired of being Lord of my life and calling the shots in my life. I want you to be Lord. And I'm laying my life down. And that moment, man, like this is the beauty of this text, man. The beauty of the gospel here, like it says in verse 4 in Ephesians 2, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Listen, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Like, that's the beauty of the gospel. I'm in the middle. I'm in the worst place of my life probably, or for sure. And he met me. Like, this shows his mercy, his love for us. That, I mean, there's a lot of us who count ourselves too far gone, I believe. Or this couldn't be for me. Look, I'm telling you, this testifies that is a lie. Like, he came for me. He'll come for you, right? And so, from that time, like, I knew I surrendered my life. Like, I wanted him. And from that moment, like for some crazy reason, like he took my horrible mouth away, my cursing. Like I cuss like a sailor at this point. And I didn't try. I wasn't like, man, now I got to quit cussing. No, it was just for some reason it was gone. Didn't want to anymore. Now I'm like, people around me that are cussing, and I go around that time, I'm like, bro, you need to watch your mouth. You ain't talking like that around me. Huh? That was just me. Like it was like that big of a change. It was crazy. But there were so many other things that I struggle with. Like, and I like to say this, like I went in and came out just as clueless though of what it looked like to actually walk in a relationship with God. Like, what does it actually look like to follow him? Like, I know that I've given myself to him. Now, how do I actually follow him, right? And I think this is where the church is lacking in discipleship. Like, this is why discipleship is so important. I talked to Josh, and I know that he's trying to launch some discipleship in this church, and some are already in it. But, like, discipleship, man, is so important to me because it took a dude. He didn't know I was going there. This is just God, but for 3 or 4 months, I tried to take the sin out of my life, and I failed every time. Like, I was trying. I was like, all right, I see this as sin. I don't want to do it. I physically didn't want to do it. It wasn't that I was like, all right, the Bible says don't do it. Now, I knew something inside of me didn't want to do this, but I'd do it anyway. And then it'd eat me up inside. And then I'd be like, all right, I'm not doing this again. and I do it again. And then this guy comes into my life and starts reading the Bible with me. He just asked me to a Bible, so he asked me to sit down and read the Bible with him. And he started teaching me what it looked like to how to study the scriptures, like how to pray, how to actually walk this thing out. And when that happened, everything changed. Like I started seeing victory over the sin that I kept falling into. And so, man, like, so I encourage, like, if there's somebody in here, like, because there's a lot of people, I encounter people all the time, like, who really wants to do this, who wants to walk this thing out, but they don't know how to do it. Why don't you find somebody that you see, man, they're burning for Christ, they're going after him. What would it look like if I asked him to read the Bible with me? And for some that is actually going after Christ, why don't you look for somebody that you can pour into? That's what discipleship is. You're just giving your life to someone else. You're letting someone into your life and teaching them what God's teaching you. But, so, I go through this. I don't even know where I'm at because that wasn't in there. But, so, I'm going and I'm figuring, I'm out on, all right, yep, this is where we're at. My bad. So, like this, 3 or 4 months has gone by now from the time of this incident. And then I get a call and news, like the guy that was involved in the incident, he ends up passing away. And I get charged with vehicular homicide. And so I have to go turn myself in and all that stuff. And I'm out on bond for about a year and a half after this. And during this time, like the Lord was preparing me for what I didn't know what was coming, but he was preparing me. Like I was growing in my relationship with him. I go to my sentencing date, and I get sentenced with 10 years in prison. And like I won't ever forget this either, like when the judge hit that hammer, like everybody just broke in around me. Like I had so many family, friends, and they were just devastated. But like I'm a big crier, and I did not cry then. Like because I knew, I was like, I knew. I just had to feel like I knew whose I was and whose hands I was in. And God's got, he's got a plan for this. He's got a plan for it. It's part of it. Like, and because really, I didn't even think about this, but this is where my story actually begins. My story didn't even start until he woke me up that day. Like, that's when he gave me life, and this is where the story starts. And so, like, during this time, I go to prison. I'm in there. The Lord never left me by any means. Like, I was too blessed in there, I would say. Like, it was ridiculous. And I could go in to tell you all these stories, but I'd rather do something else. Like, because to leave my story at just this, some prison stories and all this, that would be doing a disservice for God because there's so much more. Like, I mean, the story's still being written, and there's some stuff I believe he wants to share in here tonight, today. But he was with me. I end up serving 5 years of prison, and then I'm home. I came home February 2013, and I didn't know. My relationship with God grew so much in those 5 years, and then I come home, didn't know, never had to look for a job. Like this is, it's crazy. I wasn't even worried about a job. I was just worried about him. First day, or day after I came home, had a job interview with the fire department. So I go do that, right? And I'm going through, and I go into a little rut. After a few, probably a couple months, I went into a couple month rut where I fell into some sin and all these things, and like, God even had a purpose in that. I know that wasn't the story he wanted to write for that, but he never fails or ceases to use like our mistakes. Like he turns them into messages. And he taught me a lot through it. But he woke me up from it, though. Like this is just his goodness. He woke me up and was like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't save you for you to walk in this. Like you've been given a new purpose and you ain't walking in it. And so I knew from that time, like, I've got to make some decisions here. I've got to choose who I'm putting myself around. This goes back to that who you hang out with matters thing. Like, I had the zeal to go share Christ, with some friends, even like my brother at the time. Like I loved them so much, I wanted to share Christ, but the opposite came. They shared their stuff on me, you know, because this is another plug for community, like small groups and stuff right here. Like I didn't have community. I thought I could do it on my own when I came home. And it wasn't but an invite to a small group and seeing, man, like what God was doing in everyone else in that group, like people I knew, like he was saving these people. I was seeing these people who just came to faith and what the Lord was showing them, teaching them, how he was using them. I was like, man, that was me. I was like, I got to have it back, right? And so I repented. Like he pulls me out of that couple months slump. And I just start following. I'm just being faithful where I was at to him. Started growing even more. And so some crazy job opportunities come up here and there. But that's neither here nor there. I want to get to, we'll get back to that. Maybe we'll talk from backwards. This is what I really want to get. Like, this is... Because the prison, all that stuff does not, like, define me anymore. That is not who I am. And even the mess that you were saved in, even the mess that you're in right now, it does not have to define you. But we can choose to let it. You can choose to let it. You can choose to take that as your identity, right? But I refuse to. I'm going to walk in who he says I am. And this is the beauty right here in verse... I think it's verse 6 in Ephesians. It says, and God raised us up with Christ. And this is right after it says, you've been saved, and God raises us up with Christ and seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, right? This is what I want to define me, who I am in Christ, right? I know y'all are about to get into 1 John here in, a few weeks, and I love it. Like there's so, it's all in scripture, but I've been in 1 John for a few weeks now. And like, I mean, he calls us his children, right? Like, let that sink in. We're a child of the Most High, right? He says, hey, you've all been anointed by the Holy One. Let's not skip past that. I think of David. I shared this in the first one. I think of David when he gets anointed. He becomes, like, it takes a while. It takes, I think, 20 years before he actually becomes king, right? But when he does, like he's the anointing's still there in those 20 years. But it just doesn't come into fruition. Like he doesn't step into exactly what God's prepared for him until 20 years. And when that happens, he's reigning and ruling. He's taking back territory, right? He's caring for the people. Listen, this is all, it sounds a lot like us. What we need to start walking in. We're anointed. We're co-heirs with Christ. That means we have authority with Christ, right? Like, it's time to start walking and acting in light of what he tells us. Like, this is what we can read and say, oh, that's nice. I'm seated in the heavenlies with Christ. That's cool. Well, how about you align with the truth and walk in it, right? That's where transformation happens, is actually when you believe what he says and you start walking, it doesn't, despite what you see or what you think. What does he think? What does he say? This is why it's so important, man. Like to, and I pray a hunger for the word over this house. Like, we have to have these scriptures because what you believe is what you actually believe in your mind is what you're going to walk out. Right? What you believe is going to dictate of how you act, how you react, how you walk, how you talk. It's just a fact, right? And so I'm choosing to believe what he says, right? Like Colossians 3 says, like it says to set your mind on the things that are unseen instead of the things that are seen. So this looks a lot renewing your mind to what he says, right? This means I'm going to replace what I see or what I think with what he says, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to believe it enough that my feet follow this belief, right? That's what it looks like. So all of this, and I believe this is why a lot of us are stuck And this was me. I'm telling you from me. Like, this is the story that is still being played out now. Like, I'm just learning what does it look every day to look more like Jesus, to follow him. Like, because there's a lot of time, like, I know I was saved, but I wasn't walking in his freedom that he paid for. And that can happen. Like, we read all these scriptures, and then when we get in a tough time, we're like, God, where are you at? He's like, where are you at? You know what I'm saying? He's waiting on us to align our lives with him and be obedient to what he says, right? This is it. It's a relationship. It's a cooperation. It takes both. He's already done it. He's already hung on the cross and given his whole life to you, and he's just saying, I'm waiting on you now, right? This isn't works. This is just Bible. It is. And ooh, y'all are in for it. I'm going to have to come back during 1 John, like, because my mind's just spinning on it. Because John's like, I don't care what you say out of your mouth, does your life show that you mean what you say? That's what it is. He's like, I'm not here to debate. I walked with him. I touched him. I heard him. I saw him. I'm not here to say, is Jesus real or not? I'm saying, do you walk out what you confess with your lips, right? That's what it is. Right? Because he's everything. He's everything. And he loves so big. Like, there's no reason I should even be up here. It's only him. It's only him. There's no reason. Like, everybody that's in here, you're not in here just by happenstance this morning. Like, this is just a display that you're here of his patience, his mercy, his goodness. Like, because the hour is coming near, guys. Like, the world's crazy. We're definitely closer to the return of Christ than we were yesterday. Like, if the early church was talking about the return of Christ then, think of how much closer we are now. Like, this isn't the time to play games or play church. It's time to take the mask off. Like, because he's a real man with nail scar holes in his hands. Like, he's real. How do I know he's real? I got a relationship with him. And he's the best. There's no other way to live this life. You can't. Like, he even says it clear. Like, he is the way. He's the only way. The truth and the life. And there's no life apart from him. But man, like, it's just getting started. Like, when I think of this, like, walking this life out, I'm thinking of, when I think of me in this, when I was broken in my sin, like, I think of this story in John 5, and it says, in verse 2, it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethsaida, which was five roofed colonnades. I'm not good at reading, but I do love the Bible, okay? In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? This is pretty much what he asked me. Because I was blind to my sin. Man, I was lame. Like, I was sick, diseased. I was plagued by sin, right? And this is, every one of us can relate to this. And Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? That's a valid question. A lot of us think, if I was in his shoes, of course, that ain't even a question. Why would you ask me that? But it's valid. Because if he's healed, this is what Jesus tells us also, the same. Count the cost of following me. It's going to cost you something to follow me. What does it cost? You got to give up your own life to follow me. Nothing can be placed above me to follow me, right? And so this lame man, 38 years, probably from, he's probably born this way. I'm just assuming. From life. His sickness, his injuries or whatever has probably become his identity. That's what he identifies as. He's laying there, and he's still alive, so obviously people are giving him something. Probably that's how he's getting his money, his food, all the things. You know, this is how he's getting attention from people, this identity. And Jesus is saying, hey, when you're healed, you'll be given a new story. Are you sure you want that? Right? And this is the question we got to ask ourselves. Are we okay with just identifying with the mess that we are walking in right now, right? Or do we want a new story? Are you willing to give it up for a better story? Because it costs. Now, if he's healed, he's got to pick up his mat and walk. He's got to figure out how he's going to earn a living. He's got to figure there's all these things, and some of us can't even contemplate me giving up something, right? Because we're just, man, this world, like, we just are good with being comfortable. And when I think about it, I'm thinking of Josh and Jordan. Like, it could have been super easy just to stay where they were at, right? But this, that's not the life. Jesus said, it's going to cost you to follow me. And listen, it's not, well, let me clean myself up and then follow. It's not the best version of you plus Jesus. It's a dead you in Jesus. That's it. That's the cost. This is what it looks like. How do I walk this out? Luke 9. Luke 9 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's waking up every morning and choosing Jesus. It's every interaction you have. It's not just choosing him and then walking out the door without him. No, it's taking him with you. And then you're letting him dictate every interaction you have, every decision you make, and you're dying to what you think is right or your desire. Those desires have to go to follow him, right? To walk. If you really want, I think Jordan led off with this. Like, if you want him to be the author and the perfecter of your faith, you got to let him be the author. If you want to grow in God, he's got to perfect your faith. He can't perfect your faith if you don't let him write the story, right? And that's just the truth. So it's a daily dying to self. There's no other way. And it's the best way. Like, because more of Jesus, way better than more of Blake. I can promise you that. Like, if we actually are saved unto something, saved to know God and make him known, you can't make him known without him. Like, to be a light, like, he's called us to be a light in a dark world. We're to reflect his image, right? And the light is a lot like you're anointed to be. It pushes back darkness. It exposes the darkness, right? This is why when you really get on fire for God, or I don't even want to say on fire, if you really start following Jesus, like for real, because we'll put labels and stuff of, man, he's just, I don't even know what you would call it, like hyper-fixated on Jesus or something, or a radical Christian. Nah, he's just actually being real. He's living it out for real, right? You start living it out for real, you're going to make people uncomfortable. You're probably going to lose some friends. People are going to start distancing themselves. Why? Because you're being actually a light and you're exposing their darkness. But it's good, though, because that you exposing the darkness actually makes them start thinking inside. You just blend in and you say you're going to church and you're doing all these things, and they know you. They watch. If you profess faith, like, there's a target on you, right? This is also, I think, why he says count the cost. Man, I'm way over time. Count the cost. He says, look, does a builder, someone who's going to build a tower, not first count the cost before they build the tower, right? Why? He said, they got to know if they have what it takes to finish this thing. Because if they start it, they're just going to lay a foundation, and then they're not going to have everything they need to finish. And then people are going to be able to begin to mock them because they didn't complete it, right? I ain't letting that happen with my life. Like, because this is the truth. Like, people are waiting on your downfall. They're waiting on you to take the foot off the gas with Christ because it makes them comfortable. Like, they're waiting to say, I told you it was just a phase. This wasn't real, right? That's what people want. It's just real. And it gives them an excuse to stay in their sin, right? It's time to actually start walking this thing out and being a light and pushing back and taking new territory, guys. But you can't do it until you surrender first. Maybe there's somebody in here. Jamie, y'all can come on up. I'm about to close this thing up. Maybe there's somebody in here who relates, man, who's like, man, I do want a new story, right? I'm telling you, my story was nothing. I'm beyond grateful, thankful that he gave me a chance to have a new story, right? But he wants to do it in you, right? Maybe you need something fresh this morning, a new beginning. Well, he's the one to give it, right? And the Bible tells us, like, we must be born again. We must be born again. Like, and this is the beauty of it. Like, it happens in an instant. You lay your life down and he makes you new. New creation, new desires, a desire to actually follow him. So if everyone will bow your head and close your eyes. So maybe you're in here today and that is you. Well, I can tell you God's just waiting on you. He's here. He's in this room, no doubt about it. And it's easy, man. It's simple, but it will cost you. I'm not going to lie. It's going to cost you. But this is how you receive that healing. You call on the name of Jesus. You believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that he came from heaven, he walked this earth, lived a sinless life, and he died and paid the price for your sin in full. His death on the cross, his blood and body that was broken, satisfied the wrath of God on your behalf. That's it. And he died and raised 3 days later. You believe that message and you abide in it, he says he'll come and abide in you. So anybody in here who wants Jesus is more, who says, I want to be healed, I want a new story, and I want a life with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to be bold and raise your hand this morning. Anybody in the room? I'm going to give you a second. Anybody in the room? Well, Lord, for the rest of us, God, we're just thankful, God. I'm thankful for your gospel this morning, your good news, Jesus. We can never be reminded enough, Lord. We could never dwell or think on what you've done enough, Lord God. God, we need you, Lord, every day. I need you. And Lord, I just pray you continue, Lord. I know you're working on hearts this morning. Lord, it's a reality. And I believe that. And I pray, Lord, and believe that you're going to continue to move on hearts as we go into worship this morning. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we actually wake up as the church and start walking in what you paid for. Lord, we start walking in your purpose for our life, Lord. We start letting you actually write and tell this story, Lord. And so, God, we just love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.